Lord, let the words of our lips and the
meditation. World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So have you noticed how many things there are to talk about? Anybody noticing that with me? I mean, easy. I get up my lawn. I was up at 5 this morning. I'm not complaining. Actually, 4:45. I was awakened, had a great night's sleep. 4:45. So those of you who are tuning in right now, I want you to know that I've been actively working for 2 hours and 15 minutes to try to bring a cogent show. Okay. I'll come down and kick on the computer and here we go. I'm trying to make the show have some continuity. I want it to be educational. I want it to be opinion focused. I want you to know that your opinion matters. And so that's what I try to do. Because, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you guys. You guys remember when Rush Limbaugh was real, real popular. And then he wouldn't be in there on a Friday and a guest host would be in there. And you'd say, oh, I came to listen to Rush, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? So what you have to say matters, but come on, man. It's Coach Dave Live. They come a lot of times to hear what I have to think. It's not a big ego thing, but understand this. I've put a lot of time and effort and energy into this show already before we ever go live with it, all right? And I'd say this. There ain't many forums like this where you can come in and throw your 2 cents on the table and we let you do it and all that kind of stuff. So, man, oh, man, oh, man. I got some unbelievable stuff again this morning. I know I do that. We're going to take communion here in a minute. Joe got up especially to do that. And then remember, Saturday night, those of you in the Central Ohio area, we're having an event at Sky High. It starts at 4 o'clock. Just got nothing special going on. We're going to just fellowship a little bit and maybe do a little bit of planning. Thank you. Spencer's got it up right there. Bring something to eat because, you know, my poor wife. You don't know how many balls she has in the air. And she's thinking, oh, another thing that I have to do. I don't want it to be that. I just want you to show up and we'll eat something and we'll fellowship a little bit better. And this is for the people who are local. And all we do is ask you, Glenn, Spencer, can you put Glenn's text messages, his email there in the chat maybe, or somewhere on the screen? Just let him know if you're coming. Can you do that? Can you just say, I'm coming. 2 of us are coming. And go from there with it, all right? So here's what's really good from my standpoint. I've been trying to hand off some of these issues to other people because I can't keep all the balls in the air. And then things suffer because cat waiting on me to do it. I can't do it. I can't do everything. So we got another, you know, some other guys have stepped to the plate. We got something going on with Pastor Dale. We got stuff going on. So praise the Lord. If you have an idea and you want to get involved and you'd like us to promote it, God bless you. But listen, I ain't running it, okay? You have an idea, I'm all in on your idea, but I ain't charging. I ain't doing it. Okay? It's all good. It's all good. So everybody knows about Saturday night, what's going on. We got communion here in a second. And oh my goodness, I got some great stuff. Let me say this real quick. I don't know if you noticed. Dan Bongino quit. Did you guys notice that? Dan Bongino quit. Now, you suppose they threatened his life? You suppose they threatened his life? Has he seen the inside of the deep state in a way that he's never seen it before? Did they threaten to kill him? What did they do that would make this guy? And Dan Bongino says, and I think he's probably right, the swamp is so deep, he can have greater impact doing podcasts. Especially now that he knows what's going on inside and why nothing ever changes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. evil spirit. By the way, we wrestle. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom. Sometimes you get pinned, sometimes you do the pinning. Sometimes you get thrown out of the ring. You remember big time wrestling? Anybody remember that? Maybe they throw you through the ropes. We wrestle. Doesn't say we don't wrestle. It says we wrestle not against these folks. We do wrestle. It's all a wrestling match, a psyop, if you will. It's not flesh and blood. It's not the battle really isn't against some Democrat. That's not where the battle lies. It's a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. I don't know if you figured this out yet. I'm controlled for the most part by the Holy Spirit. Well, I give the Holy Spirit free reign in my life. Do I always obey it? Nope. Is he always talking to me? Yep. And I'm going to tell you, some of the people that we're counting on are controlled by a different spirit. Now, they can call themselves Christians. Anybody can do that, right? Or I can be a Christian and do the wrong thing. I can't. So we have to understand that this wrestling is going on. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. He plants lies. He sows division. You understand that? There's nothing worse. Coach E, I just saw you pipe in there. Nothing worse in a locker room than division. Nothing worse than division in a locker room. And there's a lot of division in our locker room, boys and girls. In fact, in this locker room right here, some of you get mad, suck on your thumb, and go home if you don't agree what somebody else says or position somebody else takes. Rather than staying and let's chomp it out here. Let's chomp it out here and let's still remain friends at the end of it. Some of you cling so hard to your theology that if it's true, then stay and defend it. Don't take your ball and go home. You'd think we'd be able to do that. Huh? Cool. So what did I say? Well, yeah, I was talking about Bongino. I got a lot of good stuff. But Joe Carrico got up very early this morning. It is 4:07 out in California. And Joe's going to be kind enough to lead us in the elements. And you know, I every once in a while I get an email from somebody. I say, okay, come on with it. Come on with it, communion already. Dudes, geez. This is probably the most sacred thing we do, really. Huh? The Lord said, as often as you do this, as often as you do it, this is my body given for you. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So it's important. We're fellowship, we're brothers, sisters. And as often we do this, we do it in remembrance of him. Go ahead, Joe. Thanks for getting up.
Thank you very much, Coach. And sometimes some of us call it California.
Yeah, I was trying to be kind. I didn't want to be one of those judgmental Christians.
When you can chase away one of some of the biggest companies in the world because of incompetence in government.
No, Joe, it's by design, brother. It ain't incompetence. It's by design.
Well, I have a feeling that some people in high places might be facing sedition charges for things they've been doing.
Is anybody ready for somebody to be arrested? Is anybody out there other than me? How about a few perp walks here, huh? How about, see, that's why I think Bongino quit. Because I think Bongino saw this is so rigged and he didn't want to be part of it. That's what I think. That's what, go ahead, Joe.
Everybody, the readings this morning are Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 and Isaiah 53:3-12. Sort of traditional readings for this time of the year, because this is the time before Christmas that we share communion.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder.
Hang on a minute, Joe. I thought there was a separation between the government and the... Huh? I thought there was a separation. No. The government is on his shoulders. Wait a minute. He's the head. We're the body. Where does the body begin? Why, at the shoulders. The government will be upon his shoulders. That'd be us. Go ahead.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
So we're supposed to be expanding this thing. Would that be right, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're supposed to occupy.
Waiting for the rapture. We're sitting around waiting for the rapture.
We're supposed to occupy.
Amen, brother.
Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
He is despised and rejected of men.
Because he's the truth. He was the truth. They despise and reject the truth. You understand it, friends? Come on, tell me you get this, okay? He was despised and rejected of men. They hate the truth. Go ahead.
A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not.
Wow.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Note the present tense in that.
Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge that my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Justify, that means balance the books. He's balancing the books on your sin life. Go ahead.
Of many, but not all. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Dear Heavenly Father, these verses touch our hearts and increase our gratitude, our thanksgiving for what you've done in our lives, for what you did to make this moment possible of sharing Holy Communion with the celebration of your birth just around the corner. And Lord, we realize that communion is a holy act. And so we ask you forgive us our sins and our transgressions. And as we take this communion, we are cleansed in your sight.
Amen.
And we do this in remembrance of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us and why he came here. Why he left the throne of all to come here as a mortal man and die for us and be treated as he was. And we realize, Lord, that communion is also a way that we can actively participate in the covenant. We can actively participate in what you did for us, Lord. It's a part of our salvation, taking communion with faith and belief. So we put on those robes now. And we pray for our country. We pray for the mess that we call the government. We pray for divine intervention and let the truth be shown so that good men like Dan Bongino don't have to resign to tell the truth and to get something done. And I pray again for Tina Peters, Lord. I pray that justice reign on Colorado from the top to the bottom, from all those with authority, all those who know the misjustice that was done, being allowed to have a defense, not being allowed to have your lawyers do what they know needs to be done to show the truth. And the way that this lady was preached at by the judge, saying she was the worst thing to ever be in his court, where she was probably the best thing that ever appeared in front of the man ever in his life. So let justice reign there, Lord. Let it reign hard. Let it reign hard. And then let it spread out across this nation. And let people in high places who've been doing things that they know they shouldn't have done to get on their knees. Because they know that you are judging the country, judging them and people like them in similar roles across this country. And let the truth come out and set us free, Lord. And Lord, we remember that many of us, all of us have things that aren't right in our bodies, but some of it's pretty profound and pretty challenging what's not going right. So we ask that we remember as we participate in the covenant that our faith be strong, that mustard seed becomes a tree, and we receive healings in our body and our spirit for what's ailing us, Lord. We ask that all those who are traveling or have people traveling to them, all are kept safe in this time, that no illness jump upon them, that no accident befall them, that no crime across their path, that everybody gets where they're going safely, has a wonderful time with friends and family, and gets home again safely. And we're grateful for this unique family and congregation we have here with our brother coach, who does his very best to let the Holy Spirit lead him to help us become better ambassadors and servants of you, Lord. So we ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to help us be your ambassadors and every day as we approach the big Christmas celebrations to share love and do things as you would do all the time. Let us put behind us the thoughts of retribution or thoughts of whatever come in our mind when we reach a challenging situation. Let us respond the way you would, Lord, more and more every day. And thank you again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Amen.
Thanks for getting up, Joe. Thanks for getting up. Appreciate it. Got a couple one in here before I get rolling. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, the Liberty Action Network has one last action that we are, we've still got up there right now, and that's the Refiner's Fire 2025. It expires at the end of this year. So we've got about 10 days to stake 10 local churches. So I really encourage everybody to do that. Yeah. Craig's group has got over 172 churches right now. Some of us haven't put our churches in. So if you stake churches and, you know, you need to get them put in there, I'd like to get him up well over 200 churches. There's no reason why we can't do that. So let's all get out there and stake our 10 churches. Thanks, Coach.
Amen. Amen, Mel. Amen. I got a bunch. I haven't put them on the chart yet. Thanks, Mel, for keeping this prize and what's going on there. Jeff, come on in. Betty?
Coach, on a positive note here, I just want to give a little praise report. Yesterday, Pastor Matt, he's out of the hospital. He's doing a little better. They might be figuring it out. But he had a shop party in Bladensburg, Ohio. He services all the oil field people, which they have, like, he puts on a big dinner. And all the oil field people come in this shop, probably 125 of them, rough, tough guys, you know what I mean? And him as a pastor, just being out there in front of him all the time and praying with him and stuff he does. Well, guess who was there sitting in a chair? Jim Dunphy. I got to chat with Jim. Man, it was amazing. Jim shared with me, and if anybody doesn't know, Pastor Bill's brother was diagnosed a year ago with stage 4 cancer. Said, "Go home, get your affairs in order." Jim told him, he said, "I told that doctor right then," he said, "Doc, I'm not dying." He said, "Well, you can believe what you want to believe." And it's like they just wrote him off, said, "You're going to die. Get out of here." So he told me he was taking all the natural stuff that chiropractor in Coshocton found for him. He said he was taking about 80 pills a day or whatever, this natural stuff, every day, doing the whatever they call that hyperbaric chamber, whatever it is, mm-hmm. doing that. But he's been, I think, a year now. It's been a while. He's cancer-free. And, boy, I'll tell you what. Jim Dunphy is just praising Jesus. Just,
amen.
It was amazing. Then Pastor Matt, when we got started, I was just talking to Jim, and Pastor Matt got everybody's attention in there, all the oil field guys. And he shared with them, you know, we've had a few guys die this past year, but we got one guy right here that was a miracle. Jesus healed this man. He got to share with him a little bit about Jim. And me and Jim both give him an amen in front of all the oil field guys. And he told the oil field guys, he said, "Now listen, we're here for each other." And he said, "I'm always here for you. You guys got a problem in life, got an issue, and you need to just stop in and have prayer, come see me. The door's always open." So it was a good message with all these rough, tough oil field guys yesterday, and it was good seeing Jim.
Amen. Amen. Glad to hear that, Jeff. Praise the Lord. Betty.
Oh, he also said he took ivermectin, too, he said.
Yeah, man. I mean, I believe in that stuff. Betty.
I'll be quick. Jerry Bracy Harris, Brown Cow. I talked to her yesterday. She says, hello. She says she prays for us and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, tell her to come on back.
I have, but she says no. So I always do when I talk to her. Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good. Can I let me get out of me what I got in me? Okay. Can I get? Is it okay? Yeah, I know it's okay. Hey, Spencer, pull up Jonathan. I'm sorry. Just a habit. Pull up Matthew chapter 5 real quickly, because I want to go somewhere today. Can two walk together lest they agree? Scripture says. Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up to them into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. I like to make this clear. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went up on top of the hill. He got away from everybody. You understand this? He got away from them, and then the disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, who did he teach? Did he teach the masses? He taught the disciples. And see, we see all these pictures of Jesus standing on the mountain talking to everybody. And he took them away for a huddle. And he said to those guys, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Well, I could preach there. Blessed are they that mourn, for they have been comforted. Blessed are the meek. Huh? Meek means not weak, means controlled power. Controlled power. Blessed are the controlled power, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm gonna stay there, man. I'm gonna come back to here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why would you be persecuted for righteousness' sake? You do the right thing. Why would you be persecuted for that? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I see that. There we go again. What's the kingdom of heaven? We don't know. Thy kingdom come, thy will be. I'm not going to get bogged down there. But how about this one, Ray? Blessed are you. See, he went from blessed are they, 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 to all of a sudden, blessed are you. You see the change of the pronoun? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the 12 disciples that came in. The Sermon on the Mount wasn't given to all those people down at the bottom of the hill. He was talking to them because he was going to send them to the bottom of the hill. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous' sake. I'm going to tell you something. If you bring the truth in, people are going to leave the show. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are you, men, and rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great your reward in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets before you. Man, you're the salt of the earth. But if you lose your savior, dude, you ain't no good anymore. No good Christianity. You're the light of the world, brother. If you put a bushel over it. City set on a hill cannot be hid. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. It's going down now, Johnny. Neither do men give light on a candlestick, put it under a bushel. No. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't you think I came to destroy the law of the prostitutes? I came to fulfill it. All right, so I wrote today, and I'm sorry we're 28 minutes into the show, but one of the greatest things that we're dealing with in modern American Christianity and republicanism and conservatism and all of its branches or whatever you want to call that, I know firsthand that there are people who do not watch, who aren't part of our group anymore because they don't like Trump. Would anybody give me a thumbs up, say, oh yeah, I know some of them. I know some of them. And so the Lord pumped this out of me yesterday, and it's important enough for me to take time to read this to you, okay? I've told you a number of times, I got my eye on him. I got my eye on Trump, okay? Pull that up if you can, Johnny. News and views today. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's number one. It's right above number one there, John. Are you ready? I grew up in a family that consists of four boys and one sister. My sister was the oldest of our clan, and as you can probably imagine, the four born back-to-back boys led to a rough and tumble upbringing. Anybody have a bunch of brothers you fought with all the time? The no-holds-barred approach to survival amongst the brothers was often more than our brave mother could handle. You see, my mama's a peacekeeper, doing all that she could to keep the four boys from killing each other. The pecking order was well established in our hierarchy, and my mother often said to us, boys, might does not make right. Anybody live by that? My mom always said that. Just because you're biggest and strongest, that doesn't make it right. Okay? She did her best to referee our noisome upbringing, spending most of her day refereeing the latest spat. Our mother was an expert at being a peacekeeper. But eventually, she would reach the end of her rope, would wail to our rowdy bunch of ornery boys those famous words that made us all shiver in our shoes. I've had it with you boys! You wait until your father gets home. Anybody ever hear that but me? I can still feel the remnants of the rumble that went down my spine with the thought of Dad and his belt when he got home from his hard labor in the factory at Kaiser Aluminum. You see, folks, my dad was the peacemaker. When he showed up, all of the tomfoolery ceased. Our father never uttered the words, boys, this is going to hurt me more than you, because the swatting of his belt brought peace to the entire home. He wasn't worried about our feelings. I find it interesting that Jesus warned us about the same thing. Fear is the greatest of all motivators, and properly applied will get the attention of a rowdy bunch more than the price that must be paid for disobedience. We are told in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. See, there's a huge difference between a keeper and a maker. Our mom was a successful peacekeeper because our father was the peacemaker. Is anybody picking this up yet? Huh? Dad came in, got the house, and dad brought peace to our home. And then mom maintained the peace. Those two jobs are not the same. One requires fear and discipline, peacemaker. The other, compromise and negotiation, peacekeeper. Wow, this is so good. As uncomfortable as it might make sissy Christians feel, Jesus promoted fear and discipline. In fact, he said the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, the peacemakers were the blessed ones. A compromised Christianity has given us the weak version of America that we see today. Somebody say amen. Compromise, who are you to judge? Blah, blah, blah. You can repeat it, right? Go with me, if you will, to the invasion of Iraq in 2003. The invasion was launched with an offensive strategy described by our military as shock and awe. Remember that? The overwhelming military offensive incapacitated the Iraqi forces. This was a perfect illustration of peacemaking. In fact, the military named the offensive operation Iraqi Freedom. Really? What followed after the offensive was an initiative to keep the peace that was peacemakers had established. Remember that, right? We stormed it, and then we sent in the peacekeepers. We stormed it, brought peace, made peace, and then brought in the peacekeepers. Now, I'm not supporting the Gulf War. I'm using it as an illustration, okay? You see, sometimes the forces of darkness have to wait until the Father comes home. That's why some Americans hate President Trump so much. He understands that sometimes only raw power and force will get the attention of the unruly children. Ray, that'd be a boom. Vinny, that'd be a boom. Only raw power and force will get the attention of the unruly children. There can be no peacekeeping until the peacemaker has done his job.
Boom.
That seems so, well, unchristian in today's, who are you to judge? Post-Christian society. Study the Bible, and you will find that many of the leaders that God used were not soft, compliant men. You ever heard of David, Daniel, Moses, John the Baptist, Joshua? Rough men that God used to advance his kingdom. I'm sorry, but I doubt if there's a chapter in there of Benny Hinn or Rick Warren or Joel Osteen. And they're made for TV Christian productions. Peacemakers, folks, those are God's men. Compromising men cannot defend a kingdom. Ray, let me say that again. Compromising men cannot defend a kingdom. They can only forfeit one. You sit him down. Donald Trump is God's man. Now, hang on. So let me explain. Those of you who have gone away because I don't bash Trump, let me explain. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. In fact, history is replete with strong, sometimes compromised men being used by our Lord to advance a kingdom. Say what you will about hard-talking, hard-living John the Baptist, who, by the way, called the king's wife a whore, and he ate a locust and honey. You talk about an uncouth guy. What did Jesus say about his cousin? He said, of all those born unto a woman, none was greater than that dude. He didn't fit the mold, see? He didn't fit the mold. Pardon me, Betty, but he had the balls to go to the king and speak the truth. Let that one soak in your soup. You see, God sent an unpolished man to do a Christian man's job. They locked John up. And Jesus didn't even go and visit him. So this is not by any means a full-throated endorsement of Donald Trump. I too have my eye on him, and much of what he does concerns me. But I can tell you one thing that you can put in your pipe and smoke. Donald Trump is God's man for this day and this hour. I'm sorry if he's too harsh for you, not soft like most men in America's pulpits today. We should all be praying for Trump, not against him. To do otherwise is disobedience to God's word. Really? Oh, yeah. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, by the way, Betty, what does first mean? First means first, doesn't it? Before you number do anything one. Else, isn't that what it means? Before you open your mouth up and do anything else, first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. You're supposed to be praying for Trump, not criticizing him. If I read it properly, am I missing something here? Why? That he may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. What's good? To pray for kings and all those that are in authority. You been doing that? Well, you tune out because Coach Dave's supporting Trump and I can't support Trump. Well, shame on you. He's God's man. Hang on, I'll show you. Hang on. Well, how about Daniel 2:21? He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. Hey, folks. Donald Trump would not be president of the United States without God's approval. Anybody want to argue that one? See, no one becomes president without the approval of God. He gave us Donald Trump. Is it for deliverance? Or is he the judgment of God on a once Christian nation. I don't know which one it is. I don't know which one it is. But President, Almighty God gave us Donald Trump. We just read the scriptures. We just read the scriptures. And God puts them in, God takes them down. Nobody becomes president without Trump's approval. I'm sorry, without God's approval. So no one becomes president without the approval of God. He gave us Donald Trump. Is it for deliverance or is it for judgment of God on a once Christian nation? Time will tell. May God be merciful in the spanking we deserve. Vinny, that'd be a boom.
Boom.
You wait till your father gets home. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Pray for our president. Pray God's will be done. Is that our attitude? Is that our attitude, Christians? Is he not Christian enough for you? Because if he was Christian, like Benny Hinn, and like you name him, he wouldn't have any balls. Because a lot of people know that when you become a Christian, you lose your courage and you lose your balls. And it's exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. God is using Donald Trump. Oh, I know some of you are nervous. Hey, somebody out there, prove me wrong. Can somebody be president of the United States without Almighty God's approval? Huh? Can he? No, it could be a spec.
No, no.
You wait till your father gets home. And we look at what's going on around the world. And the old divide and conquer is alive and well. We got Christians fighting over who the Almighty God put in the Oval Office. Benny, that would be a boom. What's our duty? What's our job? To pray for those people in authority. Isn't that what it says? We might have a peaceable life. You guys spend time praying for the president or bitching about him?
Boom.
Well, I remember. You guys remember George W. Bush, don't you? Christian George W. Bush, who killed how many people in the Middle East? How many people was he responsible for killing in the Middle East? Say, well, Coach, that wasn't very righteous. No, that was the judgment of God. The judgment of God. We don't like the judgment of God. The correction and the direction. Okay, I could go on and on and on and on. George W. Bush, who the Republican Party to this day loves, killed millions of people. Come on, man. Well, he was a good conservative Republican. Wow. This is really good, isn't it? Really, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut up. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Wait a minute, before you come in, play number four. I'll be right with you there, P.S. Go ahead. Play number four.
Linda, coming to the DOJ, I had about 400 attorneys plus working in my department. I have 1/3 of that now, because when I set the rules of what we're going to do here in this department, 2/3 of the people peaced out and quit. And some of the ones who are left behind are leaking to the press what we are doing. And so that's the fight in my department, okay? And then you look at where does most of this work occur? When you look at the hundreds of thousands, over 100,000 people who work at the Department of Justice, a lot of them work for the FBI. Well, it's only the very top layer of that is politically appointed and committed to the president's agenda. I would say the vast majority of that agency is, legacy doing what they're doing, much of which was not good for America.
Because we keep getting investigation after investigation after investigation, and then it just sits there. I don't have any faith that nobody's going to jail for that. And we're at this place to where it's up to the DOJ and the FBI to do their job and then start bringing some justice, because if we lose in 28 and you haven't cleaned up and set clear rules of the law does matter. All these people got away with it last time. It's going to be 1,000 times worse in 2028.
So you come into the DOJ.
Okay, so listen. My friend Tom Gill told me this, and I'll never forget it. Because I was looking in the chat, and Mark Trump brings up a good point. Well, he put George W. Bush in there. He put Poppy Bush in there. Right? Well, listen, folks. God's in control of everything, but he doesn't control everything. We play a role in this. We have a responsibility in this. He's in ultimate control, but he's made us ambassadors of our kingdom into the world. And for the most part, the church has pulled back. And so judgment comes and says, okay, you want more of that? All right, here you go. Here, have George Bush. Is that what you guys want? Have George Bush. Have a judgment, reconciliation. Judgment and reconciliation. Man, this is deep. Come on in, P.S.
Respectfully disagree with your Iraq point in the sense of Saddam Hussein was a CIA agent. And it was our deep state that wanted to get him out of there to destabilize the whole region. We all know that now.
So how do you disagree with my point? I don't understand that.
Well, you followed the government narrative of shock and awe, and they were going to go to war to do this, all this stuff.
The narrative was, this is how you do it. That was the narrative. This is how they do it. They did it with shock and awe. And then after they did it with shock and awe, then they sent the peacekeepers in. I wasn't endorsing or not endorsing what happened. I'm telling you how they did it.
And then
Blitzkrieg. Anybody remember Blitzkrieg? Overwhelming offense. We don't play any offense. We play defense all the time. Go ahead, P.S. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just what I said.
Then we know America was the original No Kings movement, right? That was the original No Kings movement. And now we know that elections can be rigged. So I don't know if God's will is really to overthrow the will of the people like we've seen.
So you think the will of the people is above God?
Let's say this. I don't think there's a king here. I think because the democracy set up, you know, we're supposed to have our own voice. But it all goes back to your point. We won't stand up for our voice now. So
do you think God put Donald Trump in office?
Do you think God put Barack Obama in office?
Yes.
I don't.
You don't? So you don't think God raises up one, brings down another?
No, I don't. Not in this format. Maybe years ago in biblical times and king's times. No, I don't. Not in this country.
Okay, good. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, I kind of disagree there too, because, well, look at Chile. They just elected a conservative Christian in El Salvador as well. And back to, I think God's still God the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. You go back and you read about the kings. When the people were following after God, he raised up a good king to lead them. And when they turned their back on God, he raised up a wicked king to chastise them. I believe he's doing a similar thing today as he did back then.
Ray, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the result is death and destruction. See, until we acknowledge the sovereignty of God, he put in George Bush, he put in George H.W. Bush, he put in Ronald Reagan, he put in Joe Biden.
Part Amen, of judgment.
Coach. Huh?
Amen.
Folks, you cannot acknowledge the sovereignty of God and think that somehow Barack just slipped in. He snuck his way in there. God didn't know that was going on. Because it tells us, I just read it to you. He raises up one, he pulls down another. And God has given us exactly what we want, and we don't like it because he ain't Christian enough for it. He's not like our pastor. He's not like Joel Osteen. He's not like Rick Warren. He's mean. I think God's sovereign. I think God is sovereign. I think he put Donald Trump in office. I don't know, folks, I don't know how you disagree with that. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, I mean, how do you disagree with it? And judgment. You wait till your father gets home. Randy, come on in.
I think you have to look at things from covenantal perspective, Coach, because when God and when we had made a covenant with him as a nation, I think it happened in 1620, or maybe even before that. But the people covenanted with God on the land, and he with them. Now he keeps his. But so let's look at sovereignty. Let's look at providence. Okay, I think that the because of our unrighteousness in our nation, a lot of times we allow an unrighteous president to sit and be there and to rule wickedly. And I think that is judgment. I think that's why he's there. But at the same time, why can't we lower the DOJ down from 100,000 people to 1,000 people, or even get rid of it and have righteousness in the land? Just have judges that will rule right, righteous and ethical. See, it comes down to the culture of the nation more than it does who's the president or who's the king.
Amen. Amen.
So it's Amen. On the people. Even when Saul, David, and all the kings were in Israel, when the people would hold up a righteous king and he would rule, the country was blessed. When the unruly leaders came in and the people wouldn't do anything about it, and God says, well, wait a minute, we have a covenant here. You're my covenant people. Why don't you do something about this unrighteous king? Okay, yeah, if we just think all we have to do is vote and we can get out of the game and go play, then we're not going to ever be involved in government.
Randy, you mean to tell me that if the church won't stop the slaughter of unborn children, that God might give us wicked leaders? You think it is judgment?
Absolutely.
Giving us what we deserve?
You'd spill as much innocent blood as we said. A king ain't going to fix it, and a president ain't going to fix that. But
you think America needs spanked? Anybody out there think America needs spanked?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on, man. Brett White, come on in, Brett. Man, we're about out of time. I didn't mean to do such long mom. Hang on. I lie. I meant to do such long mom. Come on in, Brett.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. So all I was going to say is, first of all, yes, I think we have been spanked for the last 4-year term. And number two is maybe God allows it instead of ordains right. it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So something along that line. Yes. So it's not
consequences of our godlessness. It's consequences of our godlessness.
Right. Amen.
And can I say what you want? Mm. Boy, Trump keeps them off stride, doesn't he? Oh, my God, he keeps them off stride. So you believe God raises up one, sets down another. What do you think, Mark Trump?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I think that when Jesus created, all of the clockwork mechanisms were created. In other words, we are just a little bitty cog on a wheel that started a long time ago. And people don't like hearing that. God give us decision making, but he knows. He's outside the clock. He's outside, and it's hard for us to understand. He is the Omega. That's after everything. So he already knows all the pieces of his puzzle. Without Trump, without Obama, we wouldn't be in the future we're in.
That's right.
Does that mean God made it happen? No, God knew it would happen. Right. Does God know about every abortion? Yes. Does God know about every future abortion? Yes. Does he know the ones that we prevent in the future? If we get off our butts? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do it. But he knows. He already knows. We are appointed, Coach, for this day and hour, not just That's Trump. Right. Every That's right. single one of us. That's Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Look, I can't believe what Trump said about killing what's his face. Why the hell would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Then I think he wants them to know he's ruthless, because he understands something we don't understand. I don't know why it looks so dark because it's my dark glasses. He understands the deep state in a way we don't understand it. And God gave us a peace maker not a peacekeeper, and we don't like it. And I'll tell you who else doesn't like it. The media doesn't like it. The Republican Party doesn't like it. The Democratic Party doesn't like it. They don't like daddy coming home. Now, is he a righteous man? I don't know. He's God's man. You can get as mad as you want. He's God's man. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, where do I go from there, Coach? Hey, you know, when Obama was running, we need to learn from what goes on around us. We're being taught, we're being chastised, we're being trained, we're being exposed, and we just go past it like it didn't happen. One of the things we learned was that when Obama was running the first time, the church would not, there wasn't one pastor in the local county that would stand up against him. They simply ignored him and they supported the other candidate, but not one church would stand up against him. And that's where we saw that they were not peacemakers. They were peacekeepers and useless as tits on a bull.
So Jack, in Ohio right now, the Republican Party leading candidate for governor is a Hindu.
Yahoo. There we go. What do you want?
Huh? Boom.
Leading candidate. Not even a debate. Who's going to be governor? Going to be that Hindu. Jeez, unbelievable. Lord help us. James Thomas, quickly, James.
Yeah, that's how easy it is to be deceived. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, man, Ohio. I mean, if Islam and Hinduism, you have to say which is worse. And I would say Hinduism because it has freaking so many gods and that thing. But, you know, as far as Trump and really wealthy, rich people who have the position of being a president, they don't think like normal people who.
No, they don't.
They just don't, you know, when you don't have to struggle to pay your bills all your life, you just don't think the way they do different. They do different things than we do. We have faith in Jesus that he's going to take care of us. They have faith in their dollar and their money that's going to take care of them.
So that Adelson, is that his name? Adelson, by the way, he's dead. His widow, Adelson, her name, I saw their article earlier. She just pledged $20 million to Trump running again for a third term. She pledged $20 million to make him be able, I have to say it, it's deep, 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 dark Jewish money.
So if Coach Dave had $1 billion and said, hey, Trump, I'm going to give you $1 billion, do you think you would have influence with him?
Come on, baby!
Here we go.
I was born in night, but not last night. I see what's going on. Joe Allen, come on in.
What's the old saying? We come out of the dark and now we see the light. Think of some of us that lived through the 60s and 70s and 80s there. Mm-hmm. And now we hold up right in front of our face a little phone that we can watch video. We have podcasters now that we don't have to look up to alternative news. We have. Now we see the light. They can't hide from us.
Hey, Joe, actions have consequences. Are you guys looking at me?
That's right.
The baby boom generation.
Yeah.
How many babies? Hang on. How many babies did the baby boom generation murder? See you tomorrow. No, see you Monday.